The latest census count claims around 800 people live in Cane Hill, a small town in western Washington County. In the mid-1800s, Cane Hill and Fayetteville, with a current population of over 70,000, were around the same size. Many in the area are familiar with the Cane Hill College Building, or the old metal mill wheel. In addition, many other historic buildings and landmarks are in various stages of disrepair. There have been many mostly unsuccessful efforts to save them, but thanks to an anonymous benefactor, a new foundation has developed, and the 501c3, Historic Cane Hill, has been formed. Many of the buildings and landmarks have been acquired by the organization, and Bobby Brawley, originally from Lincoln and a recent PhD graduate from the University of Tennessee, has been hired to lead these new efforts.
The main thing is they knew that it's going to take somebody local. Cane Hill is a very tight-knit community, and it's important to know that somebody local is going to be looking out for their best interest and taking care of some of these properties down here. And that's really, I think, one of the reasons that historic preservation hasn't been as successful down here as it could be, because they really want somebody that's local to be taking care of their history. And so I was excited to be coming back. I love Knoxville, but the opportunity to come back home was just too good to turn down.
Bobby's background is in anthropology and historic restoration, and today he takes us on a tour of historic Cane Hill.
We're headed south along Arkansas Highway 45, which was really the main street that went through Cane Hill and was originally a dirt road, obviously. In turn of the century photographs, you can see quite a bit of activity starting about right through here with 6 to 8 shops along both sides of the highway, and now these are about the only three that are left, and both of the two of the three are much later.
Cane Hill is focused in an 8 to 9 mile valley along Highway 45, which runs from central Arkansas through Fort Smith and northward onto Fayetteville and beyond. The 16 to 18 nationally registered historic properties are relatively spread out, and the tour we take today is something that Bobby would like to recreate for visitors, as the traditional museum model just won't work here.
I would like to see all of them linked up together with some sort of either driving trail, or my ideal thing would be to see a nice walking, running, biking trail that you could see a lot of these different properties from. After we've done some great historical research, some archaeology, you can generate some nice sign panels, information panels along that trail that describes each of the properties in detail.
Bobby hopes to have markers in place as early as this spring. As he talks, he stands next to the Pyatt Moore Mill Wheel. Cane Hill was settled in 1827, and many mills were built shortly thereafter to mill flour, corn, and to saw logs. Attached to the rock walls of what is left of a small building, the large metal wheel hangs into Jordan Creek. It is covered in graffiti and very bent out of shape. While this property is owned by a separate nonprofit, Historic Cane Hill hopes to reach out to them and work together to restore what is left.
One of the things the National Register of Historic Places nomination talks about, a lot of the different buildings throughout Cane Hill, they're built sort of in a vernacular architecture, so they're constructed using a lot of native stone. A lot of the sandstone obviously all came from right here. Even when we get up later to the Methodist Manse building, that was made with bricks that were made right here in Cane Hill with locally available clays, and it's one of the only brick buildings at that time that was ever constructed in very early architecture.
Though that brick has been painted over, the irregular shapes from the hands that formed the local clay 179 years ago in 1834 can be seen. The Federal-style architecture is quite basic and symmetrical. Though the brush has been cleared away, the roof is sagging, and inside, the floor is caving in. Though the town was settled by Presbyterians, there were quite a few Methodists, and this was their church. As the congregation grew, they built a wooden structure, and this became the manse, where the preacher lived.
The most interesting thing about it, and the coolest thing about the association in addition to the architecture, is that this was the Union headquarters during the Civil War. So they used part of it. We know that was definitely the headquarters. They may have used part of it as a hospital, but they also certainly used one of the buildings up on the college campus for also a Union hospital. So those were some of the only two buildings to survive during the war because they were Union occupied. The Union burned most of the other buildings. So I think this one really has a lot of history.
During the Battle of Cane Hill, most of the buildings in town were burnt down, and the current college building was actually built in 1886. Cane Hill was the first college of higher education in the state of Arkansas, founded in 1834. In 1852, it became the first institution to grant four-year degrees, and in 1875, the first in the state to admit women. The University of Arkansas in Fayetteville became the land-grant institution in the state, and eventually the college became the town's high school and was up and running as such until the town consolidated with Lincoln in 1956.
The building that we're in, by 1858, the college had four buildings, pretty large buildings, which is pretty incredible to think about this little town. But at that time, the population was probably about the same size as Fayetteville. Fayetteville continues to get larger, Cane Hill stays about the same, and then eventually starts to decline.
The end of college education in Cane Hill came in 1891. The building is in okay shape, but cracks in the wall along the stairway are clues to structural damage. As with many old school houses, the bell tower on the lawn is a symbol for the town. The bell has been through many iterations, being recast and even stolen for fraternity pranks. As we leave the college and travel north, Bobby takes me by the town's active cemetery on the way to a very unactive cemetery. I was a little concerned as to where we were headed as Bobby turned off the highway and into a pasture, his SUV taking us uphill on property his family actually once owned. The plot has had various names, but is most commonly referred to as the Bing Carnahan Cemetery.
This is one of the few places I've ever seen where it's so early. These folks were actually Revolutionary War veterans, so these two here. And this is John Carnahan and Jacob Pyatt. These are some of the two founding fathers of Cane Hill. And again, you can see why they chose this spot. Amazing, amazing view up here. It's really nice. Got a great breeze. John Carnahan was born 1756, died in 1840. Jacob Pyatt, born 1780, died 1844. So incredibly early cemetery for this area to have Revolutionary War veterans interred in it. And again, they're some of the founding fathers of Cane Hill.
This property is also owned by the 501c3 Historic Cane Hill. And there are plans to place stone pillars on the corners and a split rail fence around this burial site. Bobby's organization is housed in the 6-bedroom John Edmonston House. Built in 1896, it is also on the list of National Historic Properties. The hope and confidence to restore these properties is evident, and the dream to share the stories of Cane Hill's past is strong. To follow the progress, search Facebook for Historic Cane Hill. This is Weekend Ozarks at Large. I'm Christina Thomas.